Welcome to Podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast. I'm your host, Tyson.
And I'm your host, Porter.
And we're both writers, editors, and part-time filmmakers who love superheroes. Welcome to our show. Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going to be discussing the season 5 finale for the Harley Quinn show. Porter, what are your initial thoughts?
What a finale. I really think that it could be the last one that they do. It felt so dramatic and bombastic compared to previous season finales. They tried to pull, you know, emotional strings, and they did some things that don't quite make sense. But I feel like in this world, you can just let it fly. Especially if this is the last season, it's kind of like we'll let it fly because they're just trying to wrap things up. But overall, very good. I think Brainiac is probably the most interesting he's ever been to me, because he had the great episode where we had like his origin story, and then I think this like idea of his family being able to live in his memory was such a clever one. And I thought that besides him being a robot, it brought a lot of humanity to him, right? And overall, it made him a very sympathetic character. But what are your initial thoughts?
I'm with you there. Brainiac had a really neat arc throughout this show. And you say you wouldn't be surprised if this is the end. Truthfully, I'm kind of hoping this is the end. Not that I disliked this season or whatnot, but you made a good point that they made a deal about just kind of wrapping up all the loose ends and giving them right a moment where they're like, okay, let's like adventure more together. But it felt like a very neat conclusion to everything, and we were making comments about how they really leaned into like the emotional impact of this finale, and like it was really like we're better together, I love you so much kind of stuff, like so much more than any other finale, that it kind of just feels like a nice place to end off. And I mean, 5 is such a round number.
Well, so as far as it being the last one, I looked it up, and the co-writer and one of the guys that's behind the show says that people are having discussions about a season 6 and they have ideas, but there's nothing really, it hasn't been renewed. That's a simple fact. But it sounds like they're really excited about doing other shows set in the Harleyverse, kind of like Kite Man. And I think we were both fans of Kite Man. I feel like that would be the natural progression. Like, I feel like all throughout this season, we've kind of been like, Harley and Ivy, they've been great, but it's been a little, not stale, but just kind of like, where are they going to go from here with those two, right? Whereas doing other shows set in the same universe would give us the same fun, wacky things. Might even see Harley and Ivy, but it's a new set of characters, so we don't feel as attached.
Totally. And I feel like with any decent series, like, it can be fresh and fun for a while, but you just get used to things and you start to see patterns in the writing or the arcs, and it can just feel old with anything, right? I mean, one of my all-time favorite shows is Breaking Bad. I know, it's just so out there, it's kind of underground, nobody's heard of it, but and I'm immensely grateful that they ended it after 5 seasons, because it was a great show and fans wanted more. But the creators felt like it just needed to end there. And I feel like everything good should have like a satisfying ending like that, right? Like, season after season is often not the move. But yeah, I've enjoyed Harley Quinn for what it's been, and I would love to see more of Kite Man, because that does feel fresh and exciting. But yeah, as far as the episode goes, I just gotta get like my comic book guy moment out of the way, where like when they were in space and they were taking the escape pod home, you and I just kept looking at each other being like, there's no way they could be surviving this.
Seriously.
I mean, with like Frankette's air bubbles and them like not immediately getting like sucked out into space. And then when they were sucked out into space, just chilling there for a moment until Superman showed up, like Captain Marvel. Like, it was, I get that it's a superhero universe, but my little scientific brain was just like, that can't be real.
They were definitely pushing our suspension of disbelief in that sequence. Because like you said, the second that hole tore in that spaceship, dude, especially at that size, it would have just collapsed.
Genuinely.
Like the Titanic sub. Like
no, precisely.
And then for Franquette to be like, oh, she can't do it anymore. Like, I'm not a plant expert, but plants take in carbon dioxide and expel oxygen. Humans do the exact opposite, and that's why it works.
Right.
So as long as both parties are breathing, it should have hypothetically worked. And plus, it sounds like it was added like, oh, Franquette, she can't do it anymore, was added as like a way to build up the tension. But the pod was also already being like barraged by meteors. So like, there wasn't really a reason for them to just not, you know what I mean?
It was an unnecessary way to raise the stakes, but good thing that they added blowing air bubbles to Superman's list of powers.
I guess, right? Like, what?
That was the craziest rescue, like the most unbelievable Deus Machina I've ever seen.
Oh, totally. I wonder if, like, there's comic books where he does that and we just don't know, oh right? Gosh. Like, if that's, like, an obscure, like, oh, he did it in, like, this one comic book. Because, like, yeah, who knows, man.
And but, I guess he does have, like incredibly powerful, like, breath, right? He can blow things away. He can, like, freeze them occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it seemed vaguely far-fetched. But I'll take it, right? And once again, if that was their way of, like, wrapping things up, completely unopposed.
Totally.
I think I would just be opposed if they were trying to, like, re-up the new season
with yeah, that kind of ending. Yeah, because I feel like the setup was they would be going to these different cities and trying to help them acclimate to being real sized again, but that doesn't really interest me, you know, like as far as a Harley Quinn and Ivy standpoint, like, I don't know. It just felt like a perfect, like, leaving off point. Also, I just realized we never found out what the heck was up with, like, the giant rats taking over Gotham.
They never explained that.
No, like, first episode.
No, they very much just made that like a given, right? Like, they were just walking around like it is what it is, and then they moved to Metropolis, and then they were just like, yep, this is Gotham now.
Yeah, I guess it works, right? I mean, I'll take that over plants dying from I don't know, man. But anyway.
But I appreciate kind of the arcs that they gave some of the characters over the series. Moving back to Brainiac, from his, like, his need for perfection after losing his family to, like, this insanity to this, like, despair, this hopelessness, you kind of see him work his way slowly through, like, the five stages of grief almost. And then in the end has, like, this epiphany through Harley's mom, of all people, that the mess is... What is it?
The mess is the point.
Yeah, that, like, the mess is the point. And I think it's a beautiful saying. It's, you know, kind of a delightful theme for any stories that, like, you know, life sucks and then you die. But, you know, it's a big boat with a bunch of holes, but we're all in it together, right? Like, it's all these kind of... And I appreciate that. But, yeah, Brainiac definitely took that to, like, a whole new level where he was like, you're right, like, I made too much of a point about being perfect. And I appreciated that they didn't make him out to be a bad guy per se in that moment. Because I was like, oh, now they have to, like, fight against Brainiac to, like, save their own lives. Because he's just going to try and kill everybody. But it was more that, like, he had come to this realization for himself. And then just was also came to this realization through his wonderful hallucinations of his passed away family and monkey.
Yeah.
That, like, there are other people that want to live and have, like, you know, more stories to grow and be told. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought it was an interesting arc for Brainiac. I appreciated it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I just thought of this, though. So the whole reason he snapped out of his memory and or exited his, like, memory playback thing and decided to save them was like, okay, they helped me out. I'm going to help save them, right? Sends them out, but then, correct me if I'm wrong, him crashing into his planet caused the debris to fly out towards them, did it not?
It did.
Which,
that is precisely what that was. Could have killed them if
Superman wasn't there.
Yeah. Which, like, well, that wasn't intentional or malevolent no. In any way, but you're right, that was kind of, here, I'll save you guys, and then I'll just put you in the situation that, like, almost causes your death.
Seriously. Anyway, just a thought. Like you said, not intentional, but...
Kind of funny. Yeah. For, like, you know, the world's smartest supercomputer, you feel like you should be able to see...
Seriously.
...some vague outcome, but, you know, the mess is the point.
There you go.
And just fun to see, kind of, once again, everybody's reactions in Gotham. We were laughing again at the escalation of the bottle deniers and all the rallies that. I noticed in this last episode that King Shark had graduated to just single father, one child, when he started out the show with, like, his wife and, like, a whole horde of kids. So I don't know what happened to any of them. I don't know if I missed some sort of, like, clear explanation, but, like, it's pretty much just King Shark and Sean at this point.
Yeah, they kind of just went with it. I wonder if they had King Shark, because he was, like, going on that date and had Harley and Ivy babysit all of the kids, which I wonder if that was, like, an establishing thing. But moving forward, they were just, like, Sean and King Shark are the people we actually care about. But you're right. It was kind of like, where'd the other kids go?
Pretty
like,
much.
They, you know, who knows? But
who knows? And I think quite possibly my favorite part of the whole finale was the fact that Bane couldn't, like, lie about the story that he wrote. Like, he needed it to be what it was.
That was great. The part when he goes, I want to hear Bane sing it. I was like, oh, no. But
incredible. Incredible. I've said it before, but I am an undying fan of the voice acting that they chose for Bane. How it's kind of just a play on that Dark Knight Bane.
Totally.
It's so funny to me every time.
Yeah, it really is good, and it's dorky, and that's what makes it fun. But
so yeah, just some small chatter in the DC world. Nothing that I would call news per se, but just maybe interesting discussion. There's talks about making a show called The Authority, which is a superhero group I'm not super familiar with, to be honest. I haven't read any of the comics, but I was kind of looking into them, and this article that I read said that they're having a hard time coming up with a fresh script because The Authority is vaguely similar to the superhero group from The Boys, the popular Amazon show, and they're having a hard time coming up with something that wouldn't seem like a ripoff of The Boys. Which is interesting because The Authority came first, but it's just lesser known because The Boys, like, blew up. Everybody loves kind of the sick, twisted reality universe that The Boys takes place in. And The Authority is kind of a take on superheroes that abuse their power, that, like, aren't necessarily good guys, you know, involved in corporations. Like, it's all in that realm. But I thought it was kind of interesting that a superhero... story that isn't set in either the Marvel or DC universe could be, like, affecting their superheroes because, like, the story itself has been, like, almost taken off the table.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea because we kind of had this discussion last week where it was like, it doesn't really matter who came first in the comics. It really is more about what gets popular first.
Right.
And you're right, The Boys is very popular. However, here's a thought. Season 5 of The Boys is reportedly going to be its last season. So I wonder if that wraps up, they have some breathing room, and then they release it, and it's kind of marketed as, if you liked The Boys, here's more of that. Because I'm sure they could do some spinoff stuff with The Boys. They already did with Gen V, which I have not watched yet. I have not heard as good reception, but I've never wanted to, like, talk about a show or, like, review a show that I haven't seen, right?
Right.
So I can't really speak much about it, but it sounds like they tried to do a spinoff. They might try to do more, but I do wonder if after The Boys ends, they could be like, here's The Authority, and they might just have to embrace that it is a lot like The Boys.
That would be a smart marketing strategy because it sounds like even no matter how much you change the story, you're going to be running into the fact that it hits very similar beats to the story of The Boys. So you make a great point that would be a great idea for them to market it as It's like The Boys. It's not The Boys, but it's like The Boys.
Yeah, and I also wondered they could have that extra layer of, like, imagine it's The Boys, but it's in the DC universe, right? So The Boys doesn't have that exclusivity of, like, we could literally have Superman or Batman show up in our show.
Right.
Right? And The Authority could hypothetically name drop Superman, right? Or Lex Luthor could show up. You know, it has that going for it. I don't know if they will go that route, but that is another aspect, right? Is like, they could be like, okay, The Boys ended. Here's more of that. Plus, you get the added benefit of being in the same universe as other superheroes that you love.
You make a good point. Truthfully, when I started The Boys, I didn't realize it was its own thing. So I was waiting for superheroes that I'd heard of. And they're just throwing out names like Homelander and Black Noir and nothing that like had ever in my world been like experienced. So that would be cool and kind of interesting because the Authority, pun intended, in The Boys is like essentially just a ragtag team of just mortals, right? Super powerless, trying to take down soups, as they call them. And it would be kind of interesting to be in a world where, like, the Authority is kind of bad and whatnot, but you're right, there is, like, a presence like Superman or, like, you know, Justice League members that are, like, kind of higher up, and it would almost be, like a mob ring type deal, I would imagine.
Yeah, because, like, in The Boys, there isn't some other superheroes that are all good, right?
Right.
Most of the superheroes in The Boys are pretty bad people. It'd be an interesting angle on the Authority to have this kind of anti-superhero team with the knowledge that Superman exists and could come beat them up, right? So, like, how would that work?
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. Another kind of cool thing is they were talking about the possibility of making a Deathstroke / Bane movie, which is wildly intriguing, not only because those are two, like, incredible villains, but a duo story would be kind of fire, honestly. Like, I would love seeing something like that.
That'd be really cool. I really wonder how they would get those two in a room together, right? Because Bane, while he is a very smart person, and he's, I guess he does have quite a bit of, like, backstory outside of Gotham, Deathstroke is like a mercenary assassin guy, right? That'd be cool. I don't know how they'd get them together, though.
Be like a really interesting duo, kind of like Green Arrow and The Flash. Like, you're just like, what?
Yeah, seriously.
but it kind of works in its own way. Apparently, they have Matthew Morton working on it. He's the guy who wrote Moon Knight.
Oh, nice. Okay, that's cool.
Which is kind of neat. I enjoyed that show quite a bit.
Yeah, that one's pretty solid. Yeah, that's good news. I like that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of an interesting story. And then, I mean, this isn't much of news per se, but they just announced officially, because there's been a lot of talk about the new Batman, that Robert Pattinson is not the DCU's Batman, right? He's going to be a part of their legacy titles, and of course, they'll make content with him. Everybody loved the Batman, and we would all love to see more of that, because that is a brilliant universe. They've built a lot in that, but they're still in talks about who's going to be the new Batman.
Makes sense. I feel like that's wise to just keep it separate, because I feel like that was the big promise that they made when they announced the DCU was, don't worry, guys, separate stuff will stay separate, right? Speaking of the Batman, a couple days ago, The Hollywood Reporter reports that Colin Farrell is in negotiations to play Sergeant Rock instead, you know, since Daniel Craig left. And they were saying that they would start shooting this summer if they found the right actor. And it sounds like they're in negotiations with Colin Farrell to play that.
So, whoa.
Yeah, what do you think?
That's incredible. I mean, I have not hidden my love for that man and his acting skills. We both thoroughly enjoyed The Penguin. Holy cow, that would actually be really fun to see him in another role in the DC Universe.
Totally. I think also because The Penguin has so much prosthetics and he plays it so differently, I feel like you could have him be there. And it wouldn't be like confusing, right? Because
no,
it's not like you have his character in The Batman and you're like, wait, well, that's The Penguin, but now he's like a like a military guy. What's going on? Like, the Penguin looks vastly different than what he actually looks like. And that is one of those rare cases where that would actually work in their favor, because he is a great actor. He's very fun.
Totally. And I mean, like, you make a great point that, like, it wouldn't be confusing. Like, at first, I didn't recognize who Colin Farrell was because he looks nothing like the Penguin.
Right.
But it wouldn't cause confusion, unlike what I imagine would likely be, maybe depending on how they dress him, Jason Momoa as right. Lobo versus Aquaman, where they're just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I feel like their saving grace with Lobo is that he is, like, his race of alien or whatever is like a shade of white, like right. pure white. So if they decide to do that, I feel like that would be differentiating enough, right? People are not going to confuse him, but you make a good point. If they decide to go with him just looking naturally, but they dress him up differently, it could be confusing. But
that would be kind of cool. I mean, we both talked about this. We don't know much, nor have heard much about Sergeant Rock. And it seems like an interesting story. And I'm honestly just kind of stoked to see what they come up with, because, like we were saying before, the only reason they're doing kind of these vaguer kind of characters and stuff like that is just because the story is rock solid. Like, it's going to be a good one. It's been approved by plenty of people and worked, like, to the bone. Like, it will be a solid story regardless of our familiarity with the character. So Colin Farrell, I feel like, would be great for that. He's just a fantastic actor.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Well, I think that's all for today. Now that Harley Quinn season 5 is over, probably wondering what we're going to be covering, we've decided to do a watch through of every Superman movie in preparation for the new Superman. And this will be super fun. I have never seen any of the original Christopher Reeve Supermans, and there's a lot of Superman movies that I haven't seen, if I'm being honest. I've only seen a couple of the animated ones and Man of Steel. I am very illiterate when it comes to Superman movies. I know you've seen a bit more, but
yeah, I grew up on the Christopher Reeve stuff. Of course, seen Man of Steel and all that. But I mean, I think we lined out about 11 movies for us to get through, and I definitely haven't seen a few of those. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to get our first watch through of each of those.
Yeah, it'll be great. We're going to kind of go through, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, and of course, maybe put it into context of what we would hope to see in the new Superman based on what would be fresh, right? When yeah. you watch all of these, we'll probably be like, oh, okay, this would be different, and I would appreciate if they changed this, right? Yeah, that's what we're going to be doing. So that is all for today. Thank you for listening in. This has been a podcast on Infinite Earths, an unofficial DC Studios podcast, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.